that almost kills them both. In places, piles of detritus thrown up from the holes form homes to creatures drawn by the ease of tunneling through loose material. It is from one of these large, uneven mounds that the attack comes. Lannery has never seen a flame taiga, but she's heard of them. When she was a child, she believed them a myth made up by her parents to scare her. As she grew older, she heard stories and saw those few rare hollows made of the elusive creatures. And days before their journey began, their parents warned them both. It bursts from a hidden hollow in the top of the mound, broken trees and shattered stone erupting as it lopes down the slope toward them. "Dale!" Lannery shouts, but he is already stepping forward to meet the beast. "No, Dale, I can..." "Shut up!" he shouts. He has drawn the old blaster from his belt. The flame taiga is a big one, its length easily twice Lannery's height, its head as high as her shoulder, each of its six heavy paws the size of her head. Fire drips from the tips of its claws and shimmers in the prints it leaves behind. Its scaled, oily hide flexes and reflects the sun in multicolored swaths. Its tail swishes white fire through the air. Its eyes blaze, and its tooth-filled mouth glimmers with heat haze. It is as beautiful as it is deadly. Dale fires when the beast is 30 paces away. It does not even pause. He crouches and shoots again, and Lannery can see the recoil of the old weapon. The taiga grumbles, a splash of blood scorches the air above its shoulder, and it speeds up its attack. Lannery could stop it, she is certain. She has a force punch ready to stun it, and once immobile, she can move forward and cramp the muscles in its legs, breathe the force, and drive so much pain into the creature that it will turn tail and flee. If needs must, she can kill it. But she hesitates. Back in Kigongkesh, she shamed Dale, placing that image of home in his mind when he had not even invited her in. He needs to recover from that. If she defeats the flame taiga for him, it will be just another display of how inadequate he is and how strong she is becoming. So she pauses, but stands ready. Dale dodges sideways and fires almost point blank into the creature's flank. It roars and shakes itself, and he leaps over its back, shooting once more even before he lands. It is athleticism and strength that drives him, not power of the force, but the effect is still the same. The creature is confused and pained. As it swings around to lash out with one huge paw, Dale is already crouched and ready to deliver the final shot into its eye. It rears up, fire shimmering from its claws in searing whips. Dale smiles, pulls the trigger. Nothing happens. As Lannery sees the surprise on Dale's face, the taiga lurches forward and slashes at him with one big paw. Dale is driven sideways, scraping and bumping across the rough ground. Snakes of fire curl around his arms and shoulders. Lannery drives a heavy force punch at the taiga and knocks it onto its side. One eye on Dale. He is writhing on the ground now, rolling to extinguish the flames. She drives another punch into the beast's chest, pushing hard, feeling the force power through her and into the enraged animal. It screams in pain, a surprisingly human sound. Fire erupts from its mouth and hazes the air. Ash falls. One chance, Lannery thinks, and she pauses and pulls back. She keeps her hands raised, readying to throw a heavier, harder shove than she ever has before. For a moment, she meets the creature's gaze, and it understands the pain she can deliver. "Go," Lannery says, pushing against the thing's mind even as she speaks. The flame taiga glances once at Dale and then leaps away, bounding around the mound it emerged from, and then disappearing into the distance. Lannery lets out a relieved breath and then goes to Dale.
"I could have killed it," he says.
"Your blaster misfired. It was almost on you." Lannery is surprised at the anger in his voice, hurt.
"I was fighting it, not you."
"I saved you, Dale."
"No."
He stands unsteadily, clothing still smoking where he has beaten out the flames. He looks furious and sad at the same time.
"No," The Force saved me.
He's shivering now from the burns he has suffered. I can heal those, Lannery thinks.
You might have died.
She's crying silent tears. But Dale only looks bitter.
At least I'd have died free. My own man.
He turns his back on her, and his coolness does more than make her sad. For the first time, her brother scares her. Chapter 5. Sharp Edges.
It will be the great journey. Journeyers may walk, or ride on beasts, or in mechanical vehicles, but it will be their first self-sustained adventure across Typhon's surface, visiting each temple to learn and refine their talents in the Force. Typhon is a tumultuous place, and our new home still has countless hidden corners and depths unplumbed. Every journeyer will encounter different dangers. Many will find their travels treacherous and troubling, and there are inevitably some who will not survive. But to exist in smooth balance within the Force, one must first confront its sharp edges.
Noria Graal, first Temple Master of Padawan Kesh. 434 TYA, Thoyor arrival.
I like the sense of floating. For someone like me, it's freeing. Almost like there's nothing to me at all. I sometimes think I'm one of the cloud creatures that live deep within the Obri atmosphere. Huge, immaterial. That's what I sometimes think.
There's speculation, Lannery said. A mystery. No one's ever really seen one.
I know, Kara said. I like the idea of that, too.
Lannery was not sure whether Kara was a poet or a madwoman. Either way, perhaps she would tell Lannery what she had come to discover. After leaving the pits, Lannery and Tree had traveled to the base of this tower. Tree had announced their presence to the sentry system. An air elevator had whisked them up to the 200th floor. The view as they rose was staggering, and they had both stared silently from the clear elevator pod. As Lannery had felt the silvery light of Kalamar's three moons purging the stink of the